Recording in progress.
All right. Good morning, everybody. For the record, I'm Phil Albrecht, hearing examiner for Kitsap County. It's July 24th, 2025, 9 o'clock a.m. And this morning, I'm holding a hearing on a request for a critical areas variance, file number 23-03173. The hearing format is we'll have a presentation from staff to give us an overview of what the project is about. And then once that's done, we'll move on to the applicant if they want to make any comments in support of their application. They're certainly welcome to. It's not required, but if you want to, you'll have that opportunity. After that, we'll move on to public comments. If anyone out there wants to speak, attending virtually or in the hearing room, we'll give you that chance. We'll tell you how to do that once we get to that portion of the hearing. After all that, we go back to staff to answer any questions that were raised, and then finally the applicant gets final word to present closing evidence and closing argument, and then I get 10 business days to issue a final decision. Now, a lot of work goes into these applications here, and staff has prepared an extensive exhibit list that shows all the documents that they'd like considered for review of this proposal. I'm going to share my screen real quick and also describe what's up there for those of you in the meeting room. We have a total of 23 exhibits so far, which is composed of drainage reports, some environmental reviews.
Phil, I don't think you're sharing the index. Right. Wrong screen.
Oh, there it is. Okay, a little better, right? So, there we go. Okay, so the exhibits include the State Environmental Policy Act checklist, which essentially is information gathered to figure out if an environmental impact statement is necessary. One wasn't found necessary in this case. As I said, we have drainage report. We had a habitat management plan, which probably the most important document, which assesses how to mitigate the impacts of building within the buffer, and then we had some public comments. I read them all, and geological assessments and documents of that nature. Like I said, there's a total of 23, and at this point, just want to ask if anyone needs to see any of those documents or has any objection to their entering the record or from their meeting room, just wave your hand, and Ms. Jones will recognize you. If you're participating virtually, just click on the virtual hand at the bottom of your screen. Not seeing any takers, so we'll go ahead and admit exhibits 1 through 23. And so who's going to be our staff today?
Today we have Jennifer Kreifels.
Okay, Ms. Kreifels, let me swear in. Just raise your right hand. Do you swear affirm to tell the truth, nothing but the truth in this proceeding?
I do.
Okay, great. Go ahead.
Thank you. I will wait for the PowerPoint. All right, thank you. Good morning, everyone. As a hearing examiner Olbrecht said, my name is Jennifer Kreifels, and I'm a planner with Kitsap County Department of Community Development, so I'll refer to that as DCD. And today I'm presenting critical area variance 23-03173 to allow new construction of a single family residence in central Kitsap. The applicants, Mr. and Mrs. Racy, request approval for a type F stream buffer reduction from 150 to 42 feet, which is 82%, and a reduced building setback from 15 to 7.5 feet, or 50%. Under Kitsap County Code 19300-315A3B, buffer reductions for single-family residents greater than 50% require a variance under section 19100135. The critical area variance, I'll try to refer to it as CVAR, application was deemed complete July 19, 2023, and the notice of application was distributed September 26, 2023. The project is CEPA exempt pursuant to Kitsap County Code 1804 and Washington Administrative Code 19711-800 for single family residences, and that was footnote 1, and 6E for permits considered a minor land use decision. Public comments were received, including a letter from the Squamish Tribe regarding the habitat management plan, which stated that the best available science reports were lacking, or that the report itself was lacking best available science, as well as three letters in favor of the proposal from community members and residences. I do want to say that here is a letter in favor of proposal, and we received three more letters, so we do need to introduce exhibits 24, 25, and 26 as letters in favor of the proposal.
Okay, Ms. Krakowitz, could you just real quick read off the authors of each letter?
Yes, Doug Kitchens is the first. That is actually included in the record as an exhibit.
The three authors are Hicker, Davis, and Nelson.
Okay, any objections over Hicker, Davis, and Nelson letters coming in the record as exhibits 24 through 26? Again, wave your hands if you're in the meeting room or put your virtual hand. Seeing none, we'll admit then exhibits 24 through 26.
Thank you. All right. Here we have slide five. This is a county commissioner map. At the left points to the general area in District 2. The parcel listed in slide five here and in the assessor data is addressed as 1930 North Lake Way Northwest in Bremerton, Washington, and has an existing access from a city-maintained public right-of-way known as North Lake Way. It's classified as a minor arterial. The county aerial photo at the left here shows 1994. We have 2021 at the right. And previously, a manufactured home was located 39 feet from the ordinary high water mark of Kitsap Creek, whereas the new single-family residence will be constructed 42 feet from the ordinary high water. The site development will include improvements to existing parking, driveway access, and utilities, and this includes decommissioning and replacing an existing failed septic drain field. This map represents rural residential zoning and density at one dwelling unit per 5 acres. This is a land use designation for single family residential development. And since the lot is less than an acre, footnote 42 under 17420060A in county code allows a reduction from standard rural residential setbacks to be 20 feet at the front, 5 feet at the sides, and 10 feet at the rear. All right, here's Kitsap County's critical area map. It indicates the type F stream flows along the eastern boundary of the lot. The 150-foot buffer extends west, significantly encumbering the lot. Other mapping layers show flood, slopes, and moderate erosion, landslide, and seismic hazard areas. Topography then gradually slopes further down from the toe of the slope east to the ordinary high water of Kitsap Creek. There are steeper slopes on the south end compared to the gradual slope at the northern portion of the lot. A geologic assessment and a habitat management plan were provided. This slide shows a couple Google Earth images on the left. Oh, that's not right slide. Let me go back one. There we go. Skip that. All right, here we have a couple Google Earth images. A 2024 photo at the left, which is facing south along the front of the subject site. It's currently vacant, except for a gravel parking area near the road and a decommissioned septic system in the clearing. And these orange arrows point to a couple existing concrete block retaining walls within the buffer to remain. The red area references a city limits road sign, if you can see that along the right side of the left picture. And this shows where the city of Bremerton limits begin and Kitsap County area ends along the road. However, the full parcel, of course, is within Kitsap County jurisdiction. The photo at the center here is from 2006, and there's a Kitsap County aerial at the right. Here's the site plan, slide 10. It shows a rectangular-shaped 0.35-acre lot. It's located east of North Lake Way, northwest, and showing on-site terrain, or should be known on-site terrain is level with the road, and then it begins to slope to the east. And here is a figure from the biologist's report showing area of buffer impact to the stream. The primary vegetation on site includes coniferous trees with English ivy dominating the understory, and Kitsap Creek occurs primarily off-site but does come onto the northeast corner of the lot. The buffer requires reduction to accommodate the proposed project. However, the replacement of the extensive invasive species within the buffer will create a higher quality buffer, resulting in an improvement of the on-site buffer function. And here is a slide for the mitigation report and plan. It was provided in accordance with Section 19700715 and proposes 8,439 total square feet of on-site mitigation, which will include a Nootka Grove stickery barrier to compensate for the 6,109 square feet of reduced buffer area previously developed. I hope I didn't jump a slide. So there is the impact slide with the amount of reduced buffer. Here is the mitigation slide that I began speaking about. All right, so mitigation sequencing was used to assess avoidance, minimization, and to rectify and reduce impacts before identifying mitigation measures such as removal of invasives like English ivy to allow planting of native woody species to improve runoff filtration and habitat quality. Deciduous and evergreen plantings can screen noise and light and provide shade to the stream and riparian areas. Trees and existing natives will not be removed, so there will be minimal temporal loss. A 5-year maintenance and monitoring plan is included as a condition of approval. Overall, the project follows local fish and wildlife habitat conservation area regulations and allows use of the property that is consistent with the surrounding area and allowed by Kitsap County Code and zoning regulations. The proposal is consistent with the comprehensive plan and the zoning standards for rural residential zoning in Title 17 and meets applicable requirements for a critical area variance in Kitsap County Code 19100135. As analyzed in the staff report, due to site constraints and special circumstances, not self-induced or resulting from previous owner's actions, staff found no evidence that this proposal will result in substantial detrimental impacts or exceeds the minimum and does not exceed the minimum necessary to accommodate the permitted residential use. Findings indicate no other practicable or reasonable alternatives exist. And I'm not sure if I mentioned earlier, but the proposal for the new single family residence would be 1,215 square feet. And staff approves the proposed mitigation plan in order to support the request, and therefore DCD does recommend approval as conditioned. And that concludes our presentation, and I am available for questions.
Okay, yeah, just one quick one. I'm kind of curious. In the applicant's response to the Suquamish Tribe comments, they said the proposed residence is limited to 1,215 square feet, which is roughly the size of homes requiring a critical areas variance. I wasn't aware of a county size limit for critical area variances. Do you know what the applicant was talking about there?
I don't believe there is a size limit that I'm aware of. When you look at surrounding properties, 1,215 square feet appears a modest size.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. I think in most counties don't have size limits. They just kind of look for surrounding homes. And yeah, you're saying this is about, yeah,
we
this
have
is
a,
pretty modest.
Yeah, maybe in the shoreline code, but this is mm-hmm. Title 19. So not that
okay.
I'm, yeah. Yeah, so not in Title 19 for critical areas ordinance.
Okay, sounds good. All right, well, let's move on to the applicants. Did the applicants want to have anything at this point? If you're in the meeting room, go ahead up to the podium there, and I'll swear you in.
Great. Well, we are having the applicant come up to speak.
Okay. All right, Ms. Rafe, welcome to the proceeding. Let me swear you in. Just raise your right hand. Do you swear or affirm to tell the truth, nothing but the truth, this proceeding?
Yeah. Yes, I do.
Okay, great. Go ahead.
So my name is Gail Racy, and I purchased the property in 2021 in January, and it's been a long ordeal to get here. So my comment is that, you know, I had the previous owners purchase a demolition permit. There was a previous home on the property. The previous owner actually, as I was explaining to my neighbor here, did probably everything right except purchasing permits to proceed. He had a modular plan on it, had county approval from planners, but no permitting. So going through the permitting process, I found that the demolition permit could not be satisfied, so they tossed it out and started treating this piece of property like it had never had any building on it. And there's plenty of historical evidence to show that there was a trailer on it, it has power, it has a water bill I've been paying for, it has a septic that was failed and has never really been decommissioned. I had someone come out, the septic tank has never been crushed, and so that all happens when the rebuilding goes. And as the county described, the vegetation is invasive English ivy. My habitat report said that it was a non-functioning buffer system. So it's just been a long, arduous process. I have two letters that I was supposed to have a public hearing back in March of, I don't remember when, 2023 or something. So two people wrote letters. One actually was living there while the mobile home was there. When it got damaged by the tree and became uninhabitable, they were, both letters were in favor of rebuilding. I guess my comment is that there's many homes along the stream bank. This new home is even set back farther from the stream. A homeowner would be required to take care of the English ivy and make the stream buffer system functional again. So it just doesn't really make any sense why it's been treated this way through the county process. It should have been more a clearer path forward than having all this wait time. Plus, the expenditures, as we've waited to get to this stage, have increased my building costs. So there's just a lot of things that have been mitigated for me as a property owner, has made this project way more expensive than what I had anticipated due to the slowness of the county process. But I believe that a homeowner and the letters of support show that having a home, a replacement home, it's a replacement. Yes, it's new construction, but it's a replacement of a building, a residence that was there. So it's, to me, it's replacement, would make sense in the habitat and the vegetation. And as the picture showed, I didn't know that the trash that sometimes ends up on the property would take care of vagrants. I had to chase two homeless encampments that were going to start on the property. I had to have them pack up and move. So there's just a lot of good reasons and support why there should be a replacement home built on the property. And then one other quick comment is that the county seems to, you know, in the SFR, and I know we're not talking about the, we're talking about the critical area, but the single family home is based on this being being passed or being approved, had me do a, wanted to do a 14-foot water mark from the, you know, surveying for the foundation, and that's mainly a shoreline issue. My surveyor told me that it was mainly a shoreline issue, and I cleared that up, and that no longer exists. But it just seems that there's just been some slowness and a lack of the county having qualified people to be working on this project, and it's just been slow. But in favor of it for the county, I think it would be beneficial. Plus, with the housing shortage, there's one more new home for someone to be living in. So, thank you very much.
Okay. Thanks, Ms. Rice. All right. Anyone else out there want to say anything at this point? I'll start with people in the meeting room. Ms. Jones, is there anyone in the meeting room who wants to speak at this point?
Not at this time.
Okay. And let's check online. If you're online and you want to say something, go ahead and click the raise hand button on your screen. And not seeing any takers there. I did, like I said, I've read all the letters that have come in, and I know that they're all in support. That's pretty unusual for a development project. It's nice to see that happen every once in a while. So I think with that, Ms. Kreifels, do you want to make any staff rebuttal at this point?
Thank you. Not so much just that the county apologizes for any delays in permitting, and we understand those concerns. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, Ms. Kreifels. All right. I think at that point, then I can go ahead and close the hearing, and I think hopefully the races, I think, are through the worst of it at this point. I'm supposed to come up with a decision in a couple weeks, and that's not going to be that difficult, and it should be an easy approval. I mean, the first thing I always look at for in the staff report in these reasonable use and critical area variance requests is the entire lot with it located within a buffer. And once that's established and clear, then it's usually, 90% of the time it's going to be approved, because under the state and federal constitutions, if you have a reasonably sized lot zoned for residential purposes and it's not submerged underwater or something like that, the property owners are entitled to build a house there. So that makes my job pretty easy. I just have to make sure that all the impacts are adequately mitigated, and it sounds like the races have done their work there with the habitat management plan, and their biologists are responding to the comments from the tribe and that kind of thing. So once my approval is done, then I think they can move forward with the building permit review and hopefully, get the house, construction started pretty soon. So sorry about the delays in the past, but I think at this point we can, this will get done pretty quickly. So thanks all for participating, and we're adjourned for today. Everybody have a great day. Thank you.
Thank you, Examiner Olbricht.